And now, across this big and Tony Martin.
And today, we'll preview that new Beatles single and, in a genuine scoop, treat you to the follow-up. We've got the latest on Warnie's toe. I understand Bob Hawke's being flown in to give it the once-over. We've got an exclusive interview with the Prime Minister in which he elaborates on his newfound love of French mime. And on Radio Gladiators, we'll invite you to help us preview that controversial interview with Princess Diana. To celebrate the upcoming release of the Martin Malloy Brown album, which, by the way, thanks to Cutting Edge Technology, features us doing a sketch with the late Stu Sutcliffe, we'll launch our brand new competition, The Brown Event. We'll unveil the latest in boutique capsicum sprays, and joining us live, our old buddy and celebrity Grand Prix washout, Russell Gilbert. Yes, it's all coming up on the program. Paul Keating says would be better hosted by Marcel Marceau, Martin Malloy. Twin Collins, A Girl Like You. That's a world first right here on Martin Malloy. Well, why not? Everything's going to be a world exclusive, a world first today. It is Martin Malloy, people, and myself, Tony Martin, in attendance, and this bloke here, a man who's described on page 84 of today's TV Week as, let me get this right, Mickey, as being less than overwhelmed by this year's AFI Awards.
Oh, the good folk down at TV Week, they can read me like a book, can't they?
That's Mick Malloy, and I love it, Mickey. There's a picture of Kate Fisher, there's a picture of Jason Donovan, and then Mick Malloy was less than overwhelmed. I can't understand that.
Doesn't add up any way you look at it, does it?
But, hey, here's something that never fails to underwhelm. Let's make a trip to Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you, one and all, and welcome once again to this very popular segment, Mick's Celebrity Corner.
Hey,
big hand for Gracie while we're at it. Tinkling away on the Ivies over there. And for fans of Gracie, don't forget you can get the Gracie Anthology out later this week. Okay, down to business. Well, it's been a big day for Bob Hawke, summoned at the 11th hour to resolve the crippling CRA dispute. One person, none too impressed, however, is the Prime Minister, Paul Keating. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mick. Tell me, when are you going to play that new Beatles song?
That's coming up later.
Oh, great, because from now on, I'd like people to refer to me as the fifth Beatle.
Right, this is your latest bandwagon, is it?
I'm constantly reinventing myself, Mick, like Madonna. Uh-huh. Remember last week I was a Westie? Earlier in the month I was the anti-nuclear Prime Minister, remember that?
That's right. If I could recall, you were going to take the toughest stand against nuclear weapons of any world leader in the post-war era.
That's right.
And what happened?
Did I mention the Beatles, Mick? I am the Eggman. Cuckoo, ca-choo, fab. Yeah.
Now, let's move on to Bob Hawke. How did the ACTU manage to secure him for the negotiations?
Oh, the usual way. They fired up the Hawke signal. It's a giant spotlight with a silhouette of a dollar sign on it.
Right.
You can summon him from anywhere in less than 20 minutes.
And how would you rate his performance?
Well, I think it was a bold move to conduct all the talks wearing the white bathrobe.
What about your statement that even Marcel Marceau could win this case?
Oh, look, I know the ACTU tried to secure Marcel for the gig. Unfortunately, he's already out on the hustings explaining Liberal Party policy.
Right.
But I hear Hawkey has actually agreed to white up and present his latest mime routine, Pissing Into the Wind. It's a beauty.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Now, you've also said that this industrial chaos is just a preview of what life would be like under a Howard government.
Yep, that's right.
But it's happening under your government.
In Penny Lane, there is a barber taking photographs. How about those Beatles, eh, Mickey? Of all the heads he's had.
Prime Minister, if we could return to the issue...
Listen, Mick, under a Howard government, Hawkey would be wheeled into an industrial commission every second day. That's what it would be like. Those weekend road toll figures. There's another preview of life under John Howard.
Right.
Those floods in Victoria. If Howard becomes PM, the whole country will be moving into dinghies. Warnie's broken toe. Yeah, well, under little Johnny, it'll be all 10.
Okay, we get the idea, Prime Minister. Finally, what's the latest on Carmen Lawrence?
Eleanor Rigby, wearing a face that she keeps at a jar by the door. How about those lovable mop tops, Mickey? Who is it for? Father Mackenzie, wearing the pants that he got from the door.
If I Were You, that's Ms. Katie Lang there from All You Can Eat here on Martin Malloy. And did you happen to catch a bit of, just quickly, did you see KD being interviewed by Max Sharam yesterday, Vicky?
No, I didn't.
Well, you know how Max is on the edge. She's a performance artist. She's different. She's avant-garde. She's edgy. So naturally, she was on Channel 10 yesterday afternoon presenting.
Sure she was.
Oh, what I hope is going to be a permanent fixture on Sunday afternoon. Oz Music 95. There were promos for it all week. Saying, this is going to really kick butt. And we got to it, and it was, now here's some clips you've been seeing all year.
Excellent.
I think they opened with Mouth by Merrill Bainbridge.
Oh, yeah, Tim. But, Tony, you weren't here a second ago. I was just been interviewing Paul Keating.
Is that right? The Prime Minister?
Yeah, I don't know where you got to, but it was very interesting. Have you heard what he said about, he said, when they got Hawkey in, he said they could get Marcel Marceau to get this one through, which made me laugh. But I was thinking you could probably get a mime artist to pretty much be the Prime Minister of this country too. I mean, Marcel Marceau could do it with one hand tied behind his back. And I don't think I need to tell you what he was doing with the other hand. But look, we've got to move on, Tone. The test is over.
Oh, the cricket, I'm assuming.
The cricket is over, and Australia have won the series. But look, at what cost? Oh. At what cost have you... Warney. Booney's just Booney. What would he have broken? His moustache. That'd be about all. Booney's broken his toe.
Right.
Warney's broken his toe. I'll get it right eventually.
Perhaps Booney sat on Warney's toe.
We're getting somewhere.
I'm trying to help you.
Tono, what's going on today? I've been to the dentist, Tone, so I'm not 100%. We'll get to that later.
Warney, they put him out of the game. And have you seen the footage? It's like there's a brood of footage, Tone. It's back and to the left, back and to the left. They just keep showing it. It's horrific. Years from now, people will still be able to remember what they were doing when Warney broke his toe.
I'm pretty up on it, Tone. I've read a copy of the doctor's report.
Yeah.
I've seen the x-rays, and my prognosis is not very encouraging.
Now, which toe was it exactly?
Oh, hang on. Don't tell me. Let's see. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. Hang on. This little piggy. The little piggy that had roast beef.
Oh.
So I'll be suggesting he's going to be out for about 2 weeks. Just lucky, really, it wasn't the little one that went wee, wee, wee all the way home. Or I think it'll be safe to say Warney's summer would be over. But it's not good news, Tone. Tone, cricket. Men in white clothes, standing around a field all day. You with me?
Oh, yeah.
You're tuning in.
Can't get enough of it.
He's out for 2 weeks with a buggered toe, and quite frankly, I'm not happy about it.
Mm.
I say stitch him up and get him back on the field. Give him some painkillers, inject him with that rabbit vaccine, do something, but get his paunchy backside out there on the field where it belongs. As far as I'm concerned, Warney could be coming into bowl, step on a landmine and blow both legs off, and I'd still be chucking him the ball. I'd still be expecting him to finish his spell. Okay, he's broken his toe. He can hop in. Get him hopping in. Sure, it looked pretty stupid, but that never stopped Max Walker. He did it for 20 years. Make him a fake leg. Get him a Jake the Peg leg. That'd be good. He'd have a mystery ball and a mystery leg. If I was captain, he'd be bowling one way or another. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be barking out the orders. Hey, Booney, give Warney a piggyback. Come on, faster. I'd put him in a wheelchair. I'd get McDermott to wheel him in off the long run, Tone. Mm. Warney could be clinically dead, and I'd have the two War brothers carrying him into bowl weekend at Bernie's stop. Again, hey, fellas, give us the flipper. Well done. Hey, now remember, no smoking at that press conference. Anyway, the sooner Warney's back on his feet, well, the better for all. And you know he's suing again, don't you, Tone?
Is he? What's happening?
He's suing the doctor who took the x-rays. Apparently he sold them to Woman's Day.
Well, that's your crowded house here on Martin Malloy with something so strong and attention kiddies, attention grandparents, attention one and all. We're about to play that new Beatles song, Free as a Bird, at any moment. I think it's coming in, the tape of it's being brought in a kind of, what looks like an esky. A couple of armour guard blokes are unhandcuffing themselves as we speak. But just before we get to that, as you know, we are fascinated by capsicum spray here at Martin Malloy.
Oh, yeah.
And news over the weekend, capsicum spray has been banned. Special Operations Group aren't allowed to use it, apparently.
Crikey.
And I understand there's a question mark hanging over the use of that aerosol cheese as well for this.
neighbouring criminals.
I better take that out of the fridge.
But there is some good news. Check this out.
Some capsicum sprays merely disable offenders, while others leave the victim gasping for air, his eyes bloodshot, his face covered in unattractive blotches. Now, from Chanel of Paris, comes Essence du Capsicum No. 5, the first disabling spray to combine skincare with law enforcement. Essence du Capsicum No. 5 renders armed criminals helpless while reactivating the skin and reducing the signs of premature aging. The secret is a unique glycerin-enriched formula which cleanses as it incapacitates. Now you'll be overpowering a younger-looking, more vibrant class of armed offender with Essence du Capsicum No. 5. The vitamin E complex gently removes eye makeup as it paralyzes. Now you can neutralize free radicals while you neutralize free radicals. The result is a more natural-looking unconscious offender with no oily residue. Now when you book that dangerous felon, don't be surprised if your senior sergeant turns to you and says, "Is that Essence du Capsicum?" For a truly helpless malfactor with a perfectly balanced complexion, demand La Parfum Sauce du Capsicum from Chanel. Delightful, delectable, debilitating.
Yeah.
Free as a bird from the Beatles. What do you think, Mick? Can they kick on?
Not bad, considering one of them's dead as a dodo.
Yeah, well, it's all been done with technology. See, they've got a bit of John Lennon, and then they've put it into a computer. A bit of Windows 95 style action. And then they've got a bit of the Beatles and mixed that in as well. It took them a few goes to get it right. This was originally going to be the new Beatles single. Listen to this.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See if you try.
See, it didn't work quite as well. Yeah. I think that's an early mix of it. So, hang on a sec. Can I hear something?
Hang on. Oh. And whose phone might that be?
It's our special guest who's not even supposed to be here yet.
He's not even supposed to be here. Later in the show, we're going to introduce to you our guest. Now, where are you going now?
It's Russell Gilbert.
We don't even have the theme music to play for you. Answer it, buddy.
Answer your phone.
I've hung it up. Sorry, guys. I shouldn't have been here. It's just a new gadget I've got.
How many shows have we done this year without a hitch? Everybody's got a mobile phone, never gone off once, and there you go.
Yeah, we shouldn't be even speaking to Gilbo yet, Mick. It's like the Beatles single. He's not allowed to talk
until
after the news.
Oh, so he leaves and leaves his phone here. Don't worry, we'll get it, Gilbo.
Sparkling, award-winning entertainment, just the way you like it here on Martin Malloy. And Russell Gilbert will be joining us in the next hour of the program. And also, we'll be launching the Brown event right here on Martin Malloy. But coming up very soon, Radio Gladiators. Denny Hines, it's all right here on Martin Malloy. And let's kick off another week of...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today we're talking Princess Di. We're talking about this interview that's, when's it on here, like 8:30? Will you be up at 8:30 tomorrow morning watching the Princess Di?
Absolutely. I'll probably stay awake all night in anticipation, Tone.
Have a few friends around.
Oh, I'm not missing that. It's like a Melrose party.
Maybe a keg lined up for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, as you know, there's all kinds of talk in the... From what I can tell, nobody's seen the interview yet.
No, everyone's just speculating.
But everyone's speculating. They're saying, oh, apparently she reckons that, Prince Charles wouldn't do the nasty with her. Speculating that apparently halfway up the aisle at her wedding, she wanted to just hang a Yui and back out of there. But because she couldn't with that, what was that thing she was wearing? It would have been like turning around the super tank.
The turning circle just would have been too large. Think of the poor people who were carrying the end of the train. They would have cracked a stitch trying to get that big arc.
And it was on the telly, too. You know.
It was the other one. Prince Charles had been carrying around a pair of Camilla's panties. His panties. And I'm going, yeah, big news. Haven't you seen him? They're always there. They're sticking out of his top pocket on his vest everywhere he's been. You just see him. There they are. Another pair of panties.
Now, what we want you to do, people, is come up with an outrageous bit of speculation or rumour.
Slander might be a better word.
What we want you to do is basically put on the pork pie hat with a little press sign on it. Pretend you're working for Rupert Murdoch just for a moment. And tell us what you reckon Lady Di is going to reveal in the documentary, whatever it's called.
And the more sensational, the better.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the way it's turning at this stage.
It can be anything. It could be, I hear that she says that she's being brought in by the ACTU to negotiate on the CRA thing.
That would be one.
It could be that, she's busted her toe and won't be available for the next test. It could be just anything stupid.
I've got one.
What's that?
I believe that tomorrow morning, 8:30, Princess Di is going to reveal to the world that she's in fact a hermaphrodite. And by this time tomorrow night, the whole world will know that the Princess of Wales is hung like a donkey.
and is recording a song with the surviving members of the Beatles.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You getting the picture?
It's outrageous speculation we're looking for, and it can't ring any less true than what we're reading in the papers. Now, what about prizes? Well,
have we got any?
We have indeed, because it's talking sponsor to Radio Gladiators, namely the X-Files. The good people at the X-Files are providing the prizes, so naturally it's a bit creepy, it's a bit spooky, because listen to this, everybody who enters Radio Gladiators, well no, everybody who wins on Radio Gladiators, because there's got to be a bit of incentive, gets a copy of The Unanswered File, which people who follow the X-Files will know is the next, I think like two episodes of the X-Files stuck together into a bit of a film, and it ties up all the loose ends from that last episode where Mulder was basically buried in the ground, about to be fried or something mysterious, something spooky.
In a tank full of aliens he was.
Yeah, and of course it's not going to be shown on telly till about, knowing Channel 10, I think 1998. So it's coming out on video.
Yep.
And this is your chance to win a copy and work out how it all turns out. Now, I've got several press releases from the X-Files people here. One says that it's coming out on November 29th. The second one they've sent me says November 26th. And then the third one says November 27th. See, even their press releases are just a little bit creepy, a little bit enigmatic and shadowy.
Tone, don't move. Do not move. I'm serious. Two of those press releases could be aliens. I'm not joking.
And what's it all leading to? Well, next Friday on Radio Gladiators, we're drawing the winner of the X-Files jackets.
The jacket?
The jacket.
Hang on a second. Whoa, let's back up 1 second. 1 second, buddy. What do you stand a chance of winning here?
X-Files jacket.
An X-Files jacket.
Just like a normal jacket, but heaps creepier.
See, other people would probably, you know, expect something, you know, I don't know, like a walk-on role in the X-Files. But no, forget that, people, because we've contacted the big brass in Sydney. They've pulled out all stops, and we got ourselves an X-Files jacket with your name on it.
Swimming in leisure wear.
Woohoo!
But it's soft. By David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. She's pretty spooky, her own self.
Yeah,
so it's all just X-Files, but can you remember? Can you think back? Can you cast your mind back to today's challenge? We're looking for outrageous rumours of what's going to be revealed in the Princess Di interview. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Carnival or Carnival, that's Natalie Merchant here on Martin Malloy. We're in the Thunderdome. It's Radio Gladiators. We're talking Princess Di's interview tomorrow morning on the Teeve. What are the revelations gonna be? The papers don't have many answers, so we've turned to the gladiators. Mickey, who's the first one?
Well, we have our own Princess Diane. Diane,
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, how you going?
Good. Now, what do you think the Princess of Wales is going to reveal to us tomorrow morning?
Right, I think she's going to actually reveal that Elvis Presley is the father of her two sons, and he's been living at Buckingham Palace since just after she got married to Prince Charles.
Does that mean she's going to marry Michael Jackson? That'd be a revelation, wouldn't it?
And you know when Buckingham Palace burnt down a few years back?
Yes.
That's from Elvis cooking his bacon sandwiches up in one of the rooms.
Yeah, is it? And so he's... What attracted him to a lifestyle in Buckingham Palace? Have they got some golden arches over the palace now, have they? What's going on there?
Well, he's turned Buckingham Palace into his European Gracelands.
Okay.
Good on you, Elvis.
Well, that's pretty darn feasible. Let's move on to Michael. Michael, what's your theory about Lady Di's revelations?
Well, what I think is that she might reveal how many dresses that she actually has.
Right.
Oh, well.
And how many dresses do you think she has, Michael?
Well, I think that she have about 352, and to choose them, she also might reveal that she might play any meeny, miny, mo to get it.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah, okay.
How many dresses do you have, Michael?
None. I'm a boy.
Okay. Well, good on you, Michael. Thanks for helping out. And have you got a favourite dress that Princess Diana wears?
No, not really. Probably ones with the big hats.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Michael.
I can't disagree with Michael. I'd have to say I do like young Princess Diana in a lovely hat and dress ensemble.
Yeah,
any one of the 352 she has.
I'll be watching tomorrow to see if it is in fact 352. I'm keen to have
that
confirmed.
That's a pretty big wardrobe.
It is indeed. But next we've got Skye. Skye, what do you think she's going to reveal?
I think she's going to reveal to the world that the reason she holds her head to one side, she has an Adam's apple.
Oh, right. She's not just, you know, got an earpiece with the race calls coming through.
Sorry?
That's always been my theory.
She's going to head to one side because the stuffing's coming out her ass. I reckon.
Okay. Moving along. Thanks very much, Skye. It's quite possible. Now, Chad, I believe you've got a theory.
Yeah, I reckon she's going to come out and say that she started a Republican movement in England.
Oh, right. So she's going to... She's had enough of the royal family.
Yeah,
so she's taken it to the nth degree, Paul Keating style, and just suggesting that Britain becomes a republic.
Yeah, she's going to take it to him, and I hear that she's going for the top job.
She's going to be the president.
Yeah, she'll be president of England.
President Diana.
Sorry?
President Diana.
Yeah.
That's got a ring to it.
I think that could work. And I think Britain, I think people in Britain are hanging out for a republic.
And ultimately, what's her plan? Are you global domination?
Oh, yeah. Back to the old days. Yeah.
They'd have to take the Union Jack off their flag.
Yeah, they can put her on the flag.
Okay, thanks very much, Chad. Terry, what do you think she's going to reveal?
Well, fellas, I actually know that she's going to reveal to the world that her sex life with Charlie is over.
Yeah.
Because poor old Charlie can't get his twanger up. Don't worry about that, because she is now seeing both members of Milli Vanilli.
Oh.
And she's going to tell us that this time they are not faking it.
I see. Now, Gracie, is there a prize for the first use of the phrase twanger on the program?
Twanger is good, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're pretty darn happy with it too, aren't you, Terry?
Oh, I've got to be happy with that.
Terry, you're a wordsmith, son. You're a wordsmith.
Oh, thank you.
You're speaking to us.
Okay, thanks very much, twanger boy. Let's move on to Steve. Steve, can you give us what, without using the word twanger, can you tell us what's going to be revealed tomorrow in the Lady Di interview?
Definitely. I think she's going to announce to the world that she's going to be the guest performer with the three tenors next world tour.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. So she's going to, they're going to teach her to sing. And what do you think maybe they could learn from her?
Oh, I suppose they could learn a thing or two from a princess, couldn't they?
Yeah, there'd be a fair bit of the whack of the old pipe up the back passage backstage. Jesus, you wouldn't want to have a look at the rider there. It'd be four hoses from a fire truck.
Oh, this is undoubtedly one of the classiest gladiator segments we've done so far. But at least we're...
Hey, Val, it's not over yet. We've got to try and find a winner.
Well,
and I reckon you're looking towards Twanger Man.
I don't think I am.
No, you're not.
What do you think it's going to be? Is it Republican concept? Is it Elvis? Is it dresses?
Let's go back to Michael with those dresses. And for no other reason than I'm just keen to see if he's got anything else to add. And it's Michael!
Yeah, thank you!
Now, Michael, do you watch The X-Files?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, did you get a bit spooked out by that creepy finale with the burning train in the desert?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, now you can find out what it's all about, because you've got the unanswered X-File on video.
You.
And lots of caps and I think 352 X-Files hats. It could be something like that, I'm not sure. But you've gone into the drawer for the X-Files jacket signed by the stars of said program. We'll be drawing that next Friday here on Radio Gladiators.
Good on you, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, and stick around, people, because in the next, bit of the show after the news, we'll be on for a chat with the, he's not spooky. But he is a darn scary driver. We'll be talking about that next with Russell Gilbert. And in this hour of Martin Malloy, we've cleaned up our act. Oh, no, we haven't. We're lifting the covers off the Brown event. Mick will be reliving his morning of horror. But next up, it's Hell Driver Russell Gilbert. All thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital. But he's free. That's Corona here at Martin Malloy. It's happened again, Mickey. I've gone out to the kitchen here at the station to try and make a cup of coffee from what little there is there.
Yeah.
And I finally put together what looked like a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And before I could actually pick it up, a couple of blokes, sort of CIA sunnies, have come in and just taken the whole thing away.
I'll be taking that, thank you very much.
In a little temperature-controlled kind of thermos-looking thing, and it's being investigated, I understand. But, hey, let's welcome somebody who we've had on many times before, comedian, actor, butcher, Russell Gilbert.
Oh, the butcher's right, boys. Yeah. The butcher's right. Hello, fellas.
It's your handle. It's your hook, Gilbert.
Yeah, the butcher.
Because there's not many other, you know, professional butchers on the entertainment scene, is
That's
there?
That's right. No one stops you in the street and go, hey, didn't you used to kill sheep for a living?
They don't.
They don't. Yeah, they always say, I've seen you on Hey Hey, but they never say, oh, I remember you used to kill little sheep.
How long since you were a butcher?
Now it's been, 1984 was the last time I ever... So any took some chance skin of, off some sheep.
Any chance of maybe getting out of a smock at some stage?
Oh, maybe. Hey, you
know. Have you ever considered combining comedy and butchery, say incorporating a bit of butchery into the act?
Yeah, well, I've butchered quite a few jokes in my time. Don't worry about that.
Oh, welcome to the club, Gilbert. Yeah. Now, a few things to get through. The X-Files there. You watch the X-Files, Gilbert?
Oh, too spooky, mate, too spooky.
Too creepy.
Oh. Look, that bothers me. I mean, but I'm also just trying to come to grips with how the fridge keeps things cold in summer, you know.
Oh, yes.
So the X-Files are a bit spooky. Don't they?
Okay.
I mean, come on, let's face it. You know, there's
used to watch Murder She Wrote, and about 20 minutes in, I'd turn around, and the posse on the couch had been vacated while Big Sookie Boy went to the bedroom.
Yeah, so in case the listeners don't know, Gilbo and Mick used to live together, and was it like the X-Files? Was it which one of you was Mulder?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I think it would have been Mick. Would have been Mulder for sure. Yeah. He went missing quite a few times, Mick.
Did he?
Started quite a few of my things.
Yes.
Now, still on that.
Speaking of spooky, Gilbo, did you cop an earful of the new Beatles single?
Yes. That's spooky. But see, I'd been working on the same thing for a long time.
Yeah.
See, I recorded some vocals a while ago.
Did you?
For a Christmas sort of Santa song, and I couldn't get any musicians that were alive to play on it because they said, Russell Gould, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, we're doing something else that day.
So you've trawled the obituaries and got a few dead musos.
I've got a few dead musos. Music behind the track, and I'm bringing it out. It's going to. It's a 2-hour special.
Yeah,
it's not going to air. But
the Gilbo anthology.
Yeah, but it is a 2-hour
Gilbo
special.
Gilbo Files.
That's it. Yeah, and that's the mystery of it. They might show that on the X-File video, but it's not going to air because of what is it? Contractual
obligations.
Yeah, that big word. Yeah, that contractual
trouble.
Yeah,
trouble.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of trouble.
Can we have a listen to some of Gilbo's song here?
Yeah,
have you got a bit of
it's a Christmas thing.
When it's Christmas time down. In the best place in the world, there's a bloke who brings delight to every little boy and girl. They love his bright red stubbies and his big black rubber boots, and they love his team of kelpies that go riding in his shoes. They love his big white
fantastic.
He always
and there's quite a bit more, isn't there?
And they love that big
Gilbert
team that he's got from
that's fantastic. There is
blue Santa. He's a bonzer bloke. He barrels down the highways in a cloud of vengeance.
There is no prize, I'm afraid, Gilbert.
Oh, well, you
sorry.
Know, I'll ring Radio Gladiators tomorrow.
Yeah, love a sing, Russell Gilbert. I remember walking into a nightclub one night, and it was about 1:30 in the morning. And you know, we've had a few, so it's a bit X-File-y anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I look on stage, and there is Russell Gilbert and one ding-dong.
Denise Drysdale.
Denise Drysdale on stage singing I Got You, But...
What was no, that? We were singing Hey
Paula.
Yeah. Wasn't
but
that
we were
the,
singing Hey Hey Ernie, because he wasn't there, you know. Where are you, Ernie? You know?
And that was the opening of the Hard Rock Cafe, was it? That was the best they could do for Melbourne.
That was at the Ivy. Remember?
We
got thrown out, you know, for singing.
Those were the days. But that CD's available, is it, in the shops?
Oh, it was, apparently. Yeah. It's in the drink coaster bin.
Oh, okay. You know I just hope the Wiggles haven't got something coming out for Christmas, because they'll be going, oh.
Heaven forbid.
We can't compete with that. Now, Gilbo, can you stick around?
We're okay.
Because we want to hear about your exploits in the Celebrity Grand Prix. That'll be next here on Martin Malloy. It's Meatloaf there with his salute to Carmen Lawrence. I'd lie for you, and that's the truth here on Martin Malloy. And Russell Gilbert had a great idea during the song. There's all this controversy about capsicum spray. He's saying, why don't the police just, fire a bit of meatloaf at them?
Well, you know, they're just thinking of vegetarians now, you know. Like, you know, if you like a big steak, you wouldn't mind a big rump spray. Hey, how'd he go? I got him with the rump. Well, if that's not the backup, I've got the porterhouse spray over here.
So it's a deadly disabling tool and a tasty meat treat at the same time.
Exactly.
Always thinking.
Oh, you got it.
And singing along a fair bit there too, weren't you?
Hey,
you love a sing?
Oh, I love it.
Give us a bit of your meatloaf.
Bit of meatloaf. I would do anything for love, but I won't. Do that.
Right, okay.
No.
Still no prize available.
What
I'm
about,
oh, I love it,
was it Peter Blakely?
Peter Blakely? Oh, I remember I used to do him, yeah. Remember him?
I've got him going now.
He used to sing like he was crying in the chat. Remember he used to go, Quicksand, the song was, where to now, now, if everything is wrong or right, oh, we're in quicksand, oh, possible.
Hey, Gilbert, get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Oh, listen, hey.
Gee, if
we're
one
on the
of
wrong
the,
station for those songs.
If one of the three tenors falls sick when he's out here.
We got it covered.
We
you
have
to pay me two tenors, too.
But let's get on to the Celebrity Grand Prix, Gilbo.
Yeah.
It was a while back now, but...
It was last week.
You were there. You didn't come anywhere, did you?
I did. I came eighth.
No, you just finished.
I came eighth.
Finished yesterday.
I started 13th on the grid and I came eighth.
Now, what? Right. They were all... Everyone in the Celebrity Grand Prix was driving... Was it cop cars except for you?
Apparently they were all ex-police pursuit cars.
Yeah.
And I sort of wiped my car off the day before the race, so I actually had to drive an ex-cab around, which was a bit stupid because I was silly enough to leave the bloody meter on during the race. I was up for $117.80. Which tells me about this cab.
You stopped at a Souvlaki shop. Yeah. That's why you didn't finish in the top eight.
But when I was in Adelaide I got in a cab and I was a little bit drunk after the Grand Prix. I had a few drinks and I started arguing because I'd made the trip from the hotel to the Grand Prix track quite a few times. I knew it was $8. And I've sort of dozed off in the back and I've looked at the meter and it's $26.40. I'm going, $26.40, taxi driver. Yeah, you're taking me a long way. You're taking me a long way. He's going, hang on, going, don't hang on me, mate. Then I've realised I'm looking at the digital radio clock, with the station, which is on 2610. And I'm thinking it's ripping me off. All he's doing is playing me some old music.
Yeah. So you're in Adelaide and the fee for the cab was SAFM. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Now, what about the race itself, Gilbert? Who was in there? Who were you up against? There was...
Wally Lewis. I was up against the Tobies family. Both of them. There was Wally. There was Robin Archer was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Rochelle, Rachel... I'm just trying to remember all names. But they're celebrities. You just go...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Rachel Sporn. There were some great people, and I had a really good time, actually. King Wally won it.
Did you have your arm out? Did I see you driving around? Did I see your arm out the window?
Yeah, I see it
up on the side?
Yeah.
Can you drive like that in a race like that?
No, we're not supposed to, but, once you're in the race, what are they going to do, black flag you? I don't think so. I wouldn't have even seen the black flag, No, but it was really good fun. It was really well, put together. And also, Sammy Newman was in the race, and it was quite a good race.
He pranged, didn't he?
He had a bit of a prang on the corner, He was going pretty hard.
Yeah.
He drove really well in the trial races leading up to it, and then they put him at grid six, and he had to struggle a little bit to try and get through the field, and he was giving it all he had, but he crashed.
Who were the celebrities to watch out for? Wasn't there Tracy somebody?
Tracy Dale.
Yeah.
She was a great driver.
Yeah.
What about that duck? That duck usually goes in it, doesn't it?
No, he wasn't in it this year. He was in it last year. I got the Guernsey this year.
Did you?
Yeah, well, there was one from
you got to take the suit off this year.
No, yeah, I didn't wear it. No, it's not a suit. That's a real duck.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I haven't given anything away,
for the kiddies,
am I?
Listening. that's a real duck.
And I don't think kids listen to this show. Well, I certainly hope they don't.
Fields, is that a suit? Does he take that off at the end?
Maury's fine. I haven't seen Maury for a little while, but yeah.
And what about at the end of the race? Do you get to do a bit of that champagne spraying action?
No, I missed that. I did a bit of spraying action, but that was because I've been dying to go to the toilet for a long time, but that was a bit early. No. Well, I'm just bringing it, back to the level where it should be.
You've heard the program, Gilbert.
No, Gary Newon was a good rider too. He was a good driver. He's a cyclist.
Oh, is he?
But a very good rider. And no, I didn't get the spray because I finished eighth. But if you're in the top three, you've got to squirt at each other, which is so much fun.
And for you, they just throw you a Snapple.
Throw me a Snapple. I couldn't even get the lid off it.
Just gave him a shot in the head with some capsicum spray. That's the closest you got to any celebration.
No. Oh, it was good fun. I had a really good time.
Good on you.
Will you be back there next year? Is there a celebrity one going on?
No, because there won't be one in Adelaide next year.
No, there's no more Grand Prix
in
Adelaide.
But the Melbourne Grand Prix, is there a celebrity thing happening?
There will be one, but I think once you have a go, they leave it for someone else, and then maybe in a couple of years with a bit of luck.
Yeah.
Because, I got on well. I just wasn't a very good driver, to be quite honest.
Well.
But I passed a few people, and a few people crashed, so I finished in front of a few people.
Well, let's just hope that if they get a celebrity butchery thing happening, you're going to be spraying champagne, Gilbert.
That's it. Well, if you want me to take the fillets out of... out of sheep for a prize.
I'd like to see that. I mean, I'd like to see, say, you know, Tracy Dale.
Yeah, skin a sheep. You did hurt a skin of sheep.
Richard Carlton and maybe a couple of the Dattos and just
Richard Wilkins.
Give them all a side of beef and see what they can do.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, hey, I'll be the only one boning that.
Good ideas and plenty of them. Thanks for coming in today, Gilbert.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
And
it's always
we'll
a pleasure.
Be back with more in a moment. The Brown event, to be exact, next on Martin Molloy. Eurythmics, Love is a Stranger here on Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Russell Gilbert for dropping by today. And if you're in Melbourne, I believe you can see Russell Gilbert and friends on stage at something called the Odeon.
Yep.
Is that in Toorak or South Yarra?
It's in Toorak, South Yarra at your ritzy end of the scale.
It's a bit classy for a Gilbert.
Correct. He'll be fine. Yeah, he can mix in that company.
All right.
He'll give him what they think. That's Thursday night. At the Odeon.
Get down there.
Gilberto and friends.
Have a bit of a laugh and get yourself some snags as well. He's whipping them up right there during the act on stage. But, well, it's time, Mickey. It's time for something big.
It's time for the Brown event. To celebrate the release of the new Martin Molloy double CD, The Brown Album, Mick and Tony have created radio's Brownest competition. Simply by participating in the Brown event, you'll score yourself a copy of the Double Brown, together with the new improved four-pack of CDs. Then, if you successfully complete today's Brown event, you're in the draw for a trip for two to Noumea, flying Air Caledonie, and staying 7 nights at the fabulous Nuvata Park Royal. Okay, lads, let's have today's challenge, and remember, keep it brown.
Yes, it's the Brown event, because our album should be in the shops this week.
And that's right. That's what all the hoo-ha's about, isn't
it?
That's the brown, it's coming, it's big, it's brown, and it's an album from us.
We had people calling up going, it's going to be a car, isn't it? It's a big brown car. People really like that idea. They're going, a big brown car. Martin Molloy giving away a big brown car.
No, they'll go bigger and browner than that.
But no, it's the Brown album from Martin Molloy. And it's no coincidence it's coming out on the very same day as the Beatles anthology.
We get those bozos in our sights months ago. We thought, oh yeah, come on, bring it on. Bring on that anthology. We'll go head to head. We'll see your anthology in the shopfront, mon frères.
And how does the Double Brown, because it is a double, how does it compare with the Beatles anthology? Have you actually lined them up and, rated them together, Mickey?
Yeah, well, ours is definitely browner. It's been browned to perfection, Tone.
Yeah.
It looks brown. It is brown.
And it's possibly the longest comedy album put out, for quite some time. Mm. Because it's, I think, a good 2.25 hours.
You got two CDs in there. Have we mentioned that?
Have we?
You've got two CDs. So. One's brown, the other one is, browner again.
Yeah, so you think it can't go any browner. And then you put on the second CD and...
bugger me.
It's browner.
How brown's that?
Okay. Now, if you'd like to, firstly, bag a copy of the brown... plus the new improved Martin Molloy 4-pack of CDs. And that's pretty darn brown. And go into the draw for that trip to Noumea for two people. Oh. All you have to do is complete today's Brown Challenge. And all we're going to tell you is that it involves the James Bond movies. Because I think is the new GoldenEye Bond film is...
It's all coming together.
...premiering this week in England. So if you know a bit about James Bond films... and you'd like to take part, call now, 1-800-SMART-MOLLOY. It's time for the Brown event, a competition we've shamelessly fashioned around the release of our new album, The Brown Album. And today we're talking James Bond films. Mm. And who have you got on the line firstly, Mickey?
Well, firstly, I've got Jenny on the line. G'day, Jenny.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Not too bad. How are you?
It's good. Not too bad.
You sound pretty chirpy yourself.
I am, yes. I'm a chirpy person.
Okay.
Now, Jen, does the release of the Brown album just fill you with excitement and anticipation?
Certainly does.
Okay. It really dacks all over that Beatles anthology.
Yeah,
What have they done again?
Oh, they haven't done anything for a while. And then, we're not just taking a whole lot of our old stuff and... Oh, yeah, hang on, we are.
Yes, sorry.
Okay, now, Jenny, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start the clock. We're going to give you 30 seconds. What you have to do is name as many of the James Bond films as you can, but you've got to put the word brown in the title. Right,
okay.
So an example would be the first one was Dr. No, so that becomes Dr. Brown. So are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, take it away, Jenny.
Okay, you only live brown. You two are brown. Octa Brownie. God. brown finger.
We can't help you, I'm afraid.
I know.
We're going to have to move on.
No, you got me.
Well, okay, hang on the line.
She got four there.
And she may still well be our winner.
She may still win because it's not necessarily the amount. We're looking for ingenuity as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So who's next, Mickey?
We've got Andrew on the line. G'day, Andrew.
How you doing?
All right, you know what we're up to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, four movies, mate.
Here comes the buzzer. Let it rip.
Okay, Live and Let Brown. Yeah. Never say Brown again. From Russia with Brown. Gold Brown, Dr. Brown, Diamonds are Brown, Thunder Brown, The Man with the Golden Brown, The Spy Who Loved Brown, what else is there? The Living Brown, On Her Majesty's Secret Brown, Brown View to a Kill.
I was impressed by quite a few of those.
Okay, hey, we had. Look, I think he's just about a winner. Can we just take Anthony? Are you there, Anthony?
Are you with us?
Are you with us, Anthony?
Amen.
Anthony?
Nah, he's our traditional lost caller here on Martin.
Oh, there he is, Anthony. Now, I don't think you've got any chance of winning, buddy, but I just thought, want to pick up any crumbs, anything the others missed.
Oh, I'll give it a go.
Okay, start the clock, Gracie.
Okay, License to Brown, Living Brown Lights, Diamonds Are Brown. They are from Russia with Brown.
Yeah.
Live and Let Brown.
Yeah.
You Only Live Brown. A View to a Brown. Gold Brown. The Man with the Brown Gun.
Ah, that's my favourite.
Thunder Brown. For Your Brown Only. Moon Brown.
Give us another brown finger.
Octo Brown.
Oh, right.
The Magister.
It's On Her Majesty's Secret Brown, I think it's right. And I think we've had quite enough of this idea, but
who wins?
The middle one. I think the second bloke was, in fact, Andrew might be our winner.
Thank you very much.
You've got a copy of the Brown album.
Alrighty.
And you've gone, firstly, of course, the four-pack of CDs, which I believe contains Meatloaf. That's all yours to enjoy in the sanctity of your own lounge room. And you've gone into the draw for the trip to Noumea, which we'll be drawing next Friday. Not this Friday, next Friday. And you're just thinking of how you're going to explain this to your friends, aren't you?
Exactly.
That's what you're doing, Andrew. And I must say, I'm expressing disappointment that none of the contestants managed to, of course, mention the new James Bond film, Brown Eye. It was as simple as that. It was staring us in the face. But congratulations.
That one would have won it for you. Alone.
All right, but thanks for taking part, Andrew.
Thanks, mate. Have a good arvo, eh?
All right, you too. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks, Jenny. And we'll be back with another Brown event tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Just one of them can take it personal. That's Monica here on Martin Malloy. That's not just the receptionist here at the station putting out a single. Isn't it? Who's next? I'm Monica. Right. Next up, Deirdre. No, it's an actual bona fide bit of gear from Monica. Don't take it personal. Now, Mickey, we've been talking quite a bit about the Lady Di interview. Are you seriously going to be watching it?
No, I'm not, Tony, because the BBC bore me with this. This isn't the first time they've done one of those.
Is that right?
Anyone who breaks up or our relationship disintegrates, they can't wait to pick over the bones. So they get you in there and they rake over the coals and they try and get their seedy little stories. And I've had a gutful. They did one on me.
They did one on you.
Yeah, I broke up with a girl. Look, have a listen.
Tonight on the BBC, talking for the first time in a frank, no-holds-barred interview since her tragic split with boyfriend Mick Malloy, Julie Thompson recalls the ups and downs of what many people are calling the romance of the century.
What do you remember the most?
Oh, the little things. Picking up his underpants, lending him money to go down to the pub, waiting for him out the front of the TAB, pretending he wasn't home when the cops turned up on our doorstep. Still to this day, I can't drive past a KFC store without thinking of all those romantic evenings we spent. Talking, laughing, burping, farting over a bucket of the Colonel's finest. It's hard for me to think of Mick now without remembering the awkward way he'd shuffle off to the dunny with that funny little grimace on his face after a couple of bites from a Zinger burger.
Julie talks candidly for the first time about the events leading up to the heartbreaking end of this fairy tale romance that captured the world's imagination.
I think I knew it was over on the night of our anniversary. Mick had organised a couple of tickets to the kickboxing. I said I wanted to go to the Michael Bolton concert.
And how did he take that?
He was devastated. He refused to talk to me. He just sat there reading the paper. I pleaded with him, but he wouldn't listen. He said he was going to pack his tracky dacks and crash at a mate's place.
What happened then?
He stood up, flushed the toilet, and walked out of my life forever.
Don't miss this exclusive two-hour interview that will give you a rare glimpse of what life was like with a complete asshole like Mick.
There were some good times. He had these funny little pet names for me.
Like what?
Oh, Lardass, the handbrake, Sybil.
And what did you call him?
Oh, I had lots of names for him.
What were your favourites?
Probably shithead, swipe and knuckle.
Sympathise with this poor woman as she relives the moment the dream began to fall apart.
I remember it like it was yesterday. I came home. He was on the couch watching aerobics Oz style in the nude. I knew I'd lost him to those hussies. Those little Jezebels in their tiny lycra leotards. I begged him. I told him I'd get a Thighmaster, but he wouldn't listen. He didn't want to know.
Don't miss this controversial story of love and romance that went tragically wrong.
And have you seen him since?
He came over just last week.
To patch things up?
No, to pick up his homebrew kit.
Tonight on the BBC.
Tina Arena, heaven help my heart, winding up another round of Martin Malloy.
Hurrah!
Before we go, I've got the TV guide out. Let's see what's on tonight.
Talk me through it, T-Mart.
Well, surprise, surprise, Frontline's on tonight.
Yep, as per usual.
8 o'clock on the ABC. It's one of the repeats, but it's, I think, one of the award-winning episodes of Frontline. That's tonight. But, of course, you'd be mad to be watching that when you could be enjoying the best of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise.
Hang on, what, just the good bits?
Just the good bits on Channel 10. And you see that and you go, what's that going to be? What are the good bits? And then you read on. Tonya makes a practical travel quilt. This is the best of. What were the bad ones? Tonya has a sit down.
I'm going to have to.
Tonya has a nice quiet cuppa.
I'm going to have to get on the blower and get everyone together for one of my Healthy, Wealthy and Wise parties. Yeah, you get everyone round, you watch it together.
Well, great fun. Don't forget your practical travel quilt. And that's followed by Cagney and Lacey together again, and it's about time Cagney and Lacey got back together. Have you seen the shorts?
Who are Cagney and Lacey?
Cagney and Lacey are cops. They're tough female cops.
I see.
But they just look like the Green Senators. You're looking at it and you're going, it's the Green Senators with guns running around arresting people. That's on Channel 10. What else is on? Looking good on Channel 9. Have they got Joe Bailey nude yet? Because I don't mean that in a lascivious kind of way.
We like Joe Bailey.
What I'm saying is, have you noticed how when it doesn't rain, the next week there'll be Joe Bailey with, like, even less on? Like, the execs are down there going, get her down to a G-string. Come on, look at the figures. I want to see X-rays of Joe Bailey. But that's on. And then on Channel 7, they've got Rudy Kobe, who calls himself the coolest magician on earth. And I don't think there'd be too many, you know, competitors for that title.
Oh, there's a hot competition. I'm the coolest. Hang on, mate, you're in satin pants. How can you be the coolest? I'm the coolest.
He is the coolest magician on earth. And one thing he does on this show, apparently, according to the paper, he hypnotises the audience. It's something that, for the people at home. He's going to hypnotise you. It says in the paper, it doesn't hurt and it really works. So there's going to be something going on telly that's going to hypnotise you.
Well, what's so new about that? Every week, Tane. Every week, the same thing happens to me. I'm sitting there 20 minutes in, aerobics Oz style. No. I'm gone. Okay. Must get leotard. Step rebar.
All right, I think we've had enough.
Those tushies.
Thank you.
you to our guests today on Martin Molloy, Russell Gilbert, Paul Keating, and all our gladiators and everyone who took part in the Brown event. We'll be back tomorrow with the creator of the X-Files, Mr. Chris
Carter.
And we'll leave you today with that spooky new single from the Beatles. Imagine.